NBC Online, a ministry of Old Pass Baptist Church, Northfield, Minnesota, here in the concrete compound, and coming to you live here. And I did a video on YouTube to let everybody know that we're over here live, because I got back on YouTube for a little while anyway. We'll see. Don't look for me to post a lot of stuff over there, folks, on YouTube. It's not going to happen. They're going to kick me off of there. So I think we're building a base over here well enough that if people are looking for us, they'll find us on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, or they will find us over on Rumble, OPBC Online. Over on Rumble, and we're trying to continue on and just continue to get the message out there all over and across the fruity plain of America, as well as the world. And when I say fruity plain, I mean it. They are a bunch of Fruit Loops in this country, and Minnesota's about the worst. Well, it's not about the worst. It's one of the worst. I'll put it that way. But of course you didn't get notified, Carl. They hate my guts over there, and I hate YouTube. I don't hate the people. I hate YouTube, the whole system over there. But anyway, that's just the way it goes, right? So we are over here on Sermon Audio and on Rumble, and for the technically challenged, just try to go to Sermon Audio. Here's how you do it, okay? I'm going to show you how to do it, all right? So let's just say, you type in, watch this. Look at the screen. Sermon Audio, okay, .com. Then put a slash in there. It'll take. There you go. Pastor Cooley. Boom. There you go. See that? You go right there and you're gonna see a live button. It's gonna be pink like that, or red. That's probably red. It's going to show you that I'm live. Just click on it. You can watch it or listen to it, however you want to. All right? But that's how you get to our live broadcast. And if you're ever trying to figure out what's going on with OPBC, you can check there. All right? You're always going to have access there to our sermons and everything else that are and, you know, to find out what's going on and all that good stuff. No preaching here this weekend. I've been doing a lot of work this week. I worked all day yesterday. I worked on my sermon in the morning, and then I went out in the back. And I was chainsawing, I was burning, chainsawing with my son, burning wood up and getting rid of a bunch of brush and all kinds of other stuff, and enjoyed it out there, pushing my back and trying to get some physical activity out there, some good physical. And then I went for a 2.5 mile walk after that. So it was a good day yesterday, getting some exercise, and I'll be back out there tomorrow. Got to cut through. Got to get my deer stand out of one tree, move it. I got to blaze through a field to get to it, though. Blaze through kind of a swamp, so to speak. But anyway, I got to blaze through that and mow through that and use my combi and weed through there and get to the other side of that and take that. My son and I got to take that tree stand down, and we're going to move it up to a different spot and get ready. And then I got to do some shooting here pretty soon. I got to get out there and shoot. And practice with my 50 cal. I'm going to practice from my deer stand, though, that 50 cal. I'm going to practice down into there. So no Saturday preaching this week. But after that is the State Fair one weekend, the State Fair the next weekend. Right? And then the Defeat of Jesse James Days, all live, so many hours of content. You can watch live on the streets. Ross will be able to eat popcorn. I don't know if they eat popcorn in Scotland. It's Scotland! Do they eat it? I don't know. I don't know if they do. But they like these things they call cookies, I think. What were those again? I think they were cookies. I don't know. What do they call those? Biscuits! They call it biscuits. That's not a biscuit, brother. You've obviously never had biscuits and gravy. That's not a biscuit. That's a cookie. That's okay, though. He said they're wonderful, and he rolled it. Wonderful. Wonderful. And he rolled his R like that. That's what he said. I can't get his accent. I got to do some anyway. Oh, the Steele County Fair. That's right. Next week is the Steele. My favorite. Well, speaking of the Steele. Did you know that my favorite sheriff? Well, I don't know if he's my
because
favorite.
Because of COVID and different.
Hang on. Let's see here. Here it is. Remember this guy?
Okay. We have a flight. You can do it right there.
Why can't we do it here?
Because here you're causing problems. So right now we're sending it down to Diamond.
What problems are we causing?
We have a designated area for you. That's all we have to do by law is give you a designated area, and we have it down there.
No, sir, that's not the law.
It is the law, and if you want to argue, we'll take it further.
Okay, we will. Okay. Because I want to talk to you. But if you're unreasonable and you won't talk to me, then what am I supposed to do?
Don't throw the video at me. That's the one
I'm not throwing the video.
Okay.
I'm telling you,
this is what we have. We have a designated area for you down there on the other side. Just escort yourself down there now.
Is this a city sidewalk?
You are causing an issue right now.
Oh! He can't handle it!
Okay.
No, sir. We are not.
Start your way that way.
This is a city sidewalk.
You're violating some identification.
No, sir. You're violating my First Amendment rights.
I am looking for identification right now.
For what?
For your name.
I didn't do anything wrong.
I will need your identification, please.
I didn't do anything wrong.
You want to keep it peaceful?
Am I being detained?
Do you want to keep it peaceful?
I'm asking you a question. Am I being detained?
And I'm asking you the same thing. Are you want to keep it in peace?
I sure do. But okay. Am I being detained?
Let me see your identification so we can make sure this is done right.
I don't even have my wallet on me.
Okay.
So right. What have I done wrong?
All right.
This is a public sidewalk. Where are my First Amendment rights?
You have no right to demonstrate right here. You have a right down there. Okay.
Wait a minute. So what you're saying is I just want to understand what I'm. Okay. I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm really not. I understand you have a job to do. I'm trying to understand. Okay. I preached outside of a lot of events all over the state.
That's great.
Okay. And this is a city sidewalk. This is public property. Correct.
We have a right for you to be down there. Okay. So
is this public property?
Let's move it down there.
You're not answering my question, sir. Is this public property? By what ordinance have I broken?
Let's move it down there.
What ordinance have I broken?
Move it down there.
Sir, you're chilling my First Amendment rights.
Let's move it down there.
Okay.
We have a place for you to demonstrate.
We're not.
We have a place for you to demonstrate down there.
I understand, but you're violating my First Amendment rights.
We have a place for you to demonstrate down there.
You're not answering my question.
We have a place for you to demonstrate down there.
Do you have a commander I can talk to?
I am the commander. You have a place to demonstrate down there.
Wait, no, for real. You're the sheriff? Are you kidding me? What?
Sheriff?
You have a place to demonstrate down there.
Okay. So I'm...
You have a place to demonstrate down there.
Okay. So, unreasonable. There's nothing I can do.
You have a place to demonstrate down there.
Okay. All right, you'll hear from my attorney.
You have a place to demonstrate down there.
This is a public street.
This is a public street.
It's a public street.
You have a place to demonstrate.
You have no right to violate my rights here. This is a public street.
You have a place to demonstrate.
This is a public street, and I've not violated any rights.
You have place.
I've not violated any laws. Have I broken any laws?
You have a place to demonstrate down there.
Up the wall, evident of burning hell.
We're allowing you a place to demonstrate down there.
And is there anybody down there?
We're allowing you to demonstrate down there.
Hang on. Brother Paul. One at a time. Okay. So basically, are you ordering me to leave? That's what I'm asking you.
We're allowing you to demonstrate down
there.
That's
not a question. I need a direct answer for
you. We're allowing you to demonstrate down there.
Are you ordering me to leave?
We're allowing you to demonstrate down there.
Somebody put the needle off the record.
That's a waste of time. Well, if we're not getting arrested, then we're not moving.
I mean, I guess...
We're allowing you to demonstrate down there.
I know, and I'm asking you if
we're allowing you to demonstrate down there.
Okay, I guess.
All right. If we're not getting arrested, then we're not...
Well, anyway, that is where we're headed next week. How about that? Place you demonstrate down there. 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 He's kind of... That didn't work that well, did it? Place you demonstrate down there. I was like, the record's broke. Somebody get the needle off the record. He kind of short-circuited a little bit there. Place your demonstrate down there. Place your demonstrate down there.
Demonstrate
First
down
amendment
there.
Right to be here. This is public property.
We are allowing you to demonstrate
First
down there.
First Amendment right to be here.
Wow. Place your demonstrate down there.
This is like some military.
We're allowing you to demonstrate down there.
Right here. Maybe it's malfunctioning.
I just.
I think he's lost it. Place your demonstrate down there. Place your demonstrate down there.
The same thing.
And when I called his bluff, that's what he got mad about. First of all, you don't permit me to go anywhere. In the United States, we still have a constitution and we have a First Amendment. So you're not giving me permission to be anywhere. It's the public. Anybody can stand in the public and speak. Right? Place your demonstrate down there. Place your demonstrate down there. Place your demonstrate down there. Place your I want to get a t-shirt with his picture on it saying that. Place your demonstrate down there. Anyway, when I didn't fall for it and it didn't work, then he kind of just
okay.
He was like, okay, well. Then the other guy came in and he was like, hey man, we're just trying to do this, this, and this. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So anyway, I was very nice to the guy and he short circuited. That clip actually made it on Alex Jones. No, I didn't move. No, I did not move. I did not move. We stayed exactly where we were. We preached the rest of the time for like another hour or two, whatever it was. No, we didn't go anywhere. And the sheriff never came back. He left and he never came back. So, yeah. That was 7 years ago. Praise the Lord. And you know something? By God's grace, I'm still doing the same thing I was doing then. What a blessing. That's God's grace right there. It's God's grace that'll keep you, my friend. It isn't anything in you and I. It isn't any strength in us, but it's the grace of Almighty God that keeps us the way that we should go, always. Just remember that. It isn't your faithfulness will not come from you. It comes from the grace of Almighty God breathing life and endurance into you. That's how it works. So God will show you and bring you to the end of yourself that you're not. Yeah, that was on Alex Jones, actually. It was on Alex Jones. Yep, he picked it up. And yeah, that's why it has 200,000 views on it, because he picked it up on his page. Yes, I did talk to Alex Jones one time. I was on a broadcast. One time I was doing a broadcast on a radio show in Austin, Texas. I wasn't in Austin. I was in Minnesota. But they asked me to fill in and to host a radio show. Well, I didn't appreciate the music the man played on the radio show. You know, his intro music. It was like a God and Guns song. I didn't appreciate any of that at all, period. But anyway, the man asked me to do the broadcast and fill in for him to be a guest host. So I said, okay. So I filled in a couple times on that broadcast. While I'm on that broadcast, actually, I think the man was on there. He just had me come on. But I did fill in for his show one time. Anyway, maybe twice. I don't remember back then. But anyway, he asked me to be on there. So I came on there, and then at the break time, there was a First Amendment problem that took place in Austin, Texas. And Alex Jones came on the program and kind of interrupted our broadcast for a special announcement. Well, offline, he was listening to the broadcast, he said, and he said that it sounded good and everything. And he was like, yeah, you're doing a great job and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't even know who it was at first. I didn't have any idea who it was. And then the host goes, yeah, Jason, this is Alex. I'm like, oh, okay, great. And I didn't know who he was. I knew who Alex Jones was, but I didn't put two and two together. And he goes, no, Jason, this is Alex Jones. I was like, oh, hey, man. I didn't know who it was. I was like, oh, all right, hey. And I started talking to him. He's like, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. And he goes, oh, I'm nobody. And he talked to me for a few minutes, and then he gave his update or whatever it was, and he was gone. But yeah, that was kind of weird. I thought that was kind of strange. That was a weird experience for me. Anyway, I had a lot of weird experiences back then. I had a lot of people that were trying to influence me. I had a lot of people that were trying to, I think in some ways, co-opt me. There were people that, but God used it to, you know, to kind of give me a platform to reach people. And anyway, it's kind of interesting the way, but nowhere near as big as any of those people. Those are still online. Yes, they are. If you go back into the archives, you can find those. A redneck said that cop sounded like the dad from the Coneheads movie. I've never seen that, but that's funny, man. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what happened. But, you know, lots of stuff went on. But anyway, it's funny. They are on there. You can find those old broadcasts. They are old. Some of them are from like 2013. I did one with a pastor. He did like this old PAS broadcasting network thing, and I did a broadcast with him for a while, but then we parted ways. And I parted ways with a lot of men over the years. But that one was kind of ugly, kind of turned. Whatever. So it's kind of been a pattern. That's life. That's how it works. But anyway, so interesting times, right? Now, so how are you all? I hope you're all doing well. I talked to a few of you on there. Hey, we did get the tracks paid for. Praise the Lord. If you want to donate to the ministry, you can for other things. This is how you do it. See it right there. You could donate. But anyway, we did get the tracks taken care of. I think. I got to check the final price. Somebody asked me if there's a little bit left over. I need to check that. I forgot about that. But I will check that here this week or the next day or so. I got to check that. Somebody asked me about it. But we are going to talk about the mark of the beast. And I'm going to teach you a few things about that. You know, each year that goes by, things get crazier and crazier. And this video around 4:49, the guy uses hell in an inappropriate way. So I'm going to try to... At 4:39 or 4:40. So anyway, when it gets in there, I'll skip ahead about 10 seconds, okay? But anyway, we're going to learn about this. But I want you to turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. You're probably like, Pastor, you always go to Revelation chapter 13. Well, when we're talking about prophecy and the beast system, there are so many different aspects of it, right? And Revelation 13 is the culmination of all those. Okay, this is where the actual, you know, one world government is manifested completely. And the veil is ripped off, and it is right there for you to see. Okay? And this is... Here we have it. Verse number 7. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 600, 666. Now, this book is perfect, this King James Bible. Notice Revelation chapter 13, the number 13, number of rebellion. Look at verse 18. It talks about the number of the beast. Number is 600, prescore, 6, 6, 6, 6. Look at, and by the way, there's 66 people watching right now. What? That's crazy. Okay, anyway, sorry. Here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding. Look at the word. Look at the number. 666. What's 6 plus 6 plus 6? 18. What verse is it that exposes that? Verse 18. Do you see it? See the numbers? Do you see it right there, plain as day? I said day, like some Minneapolis, like some Minnesota person. I said day. What in the world? Day. What is wrong with me? It's like, you need a big? You need a big? You go to the grocery store, do you need a big? I just said day. What is wrong with me? I just said day. Ugh. Getting old, brain shutting down. What's going on here? It must be what. So I'm only 46. I guess I got a little while. Anyway. So there you have it. 666. In the verse. Verse 18. Look at also Revelation 13:13. Find that rebellion there. You find the great wonders that are there. And the rebellion against God to take God's, the counterfeit, take God's plan, God's way of dealing with it, mimic him or counterfeiting them, mocking them. Okay. There you have it. Watch.
Wrote an actual check or bought something with cash. Swiping and tapping our cards and our apps are not just the easiest way to spend money, they're the safest way, unless, of course, we misplace our phones or our wallets, and then it's a nightmare. It is hard to misplace your hands, however. And soon your hand may be all that you need to buy anything that you can afford and many things that you can't. Because a company called WalletMore is developing a very teeny, teeny, tiny chip. You see it there in the X-ray? That should creep you out. The chip is like the ones that are found in smart credit cards or debit cards, and the chip gets embedded just under your skin and makes your whole hand a credit card. Joining me now is Wojtek Paroda. He's the CEO and founder.
Okay, so it's going in your hand. Now, this, you know, it. Remember what the Bible says about the right hand and the forehead.
Of wallet more. Okay, Wojtek, this is so futuristic and out there, but walk me through how it actually works.
Hey, so first of all, thanks for having me. Let's look at the chip as a super small card that you can use wherever contactless payments are accepted. So it's exactly the same NFC technology, which stands for near field communication, and therefore it can be used only for the near field communication payments. So therefore you cannot be tracked, you cannot be monitored, you cannot be spied with that implant because it's exactly the same technology as credit card.
So here's my worry, is that you can accidentally buy something by just having your hand too close.
So her worry, this is the world for you, okay? Her worry is that I'll accidentally buy something. Really? Like, you don't have a problem with inserting a microchip into your hand? Really? You don't have a problem doing that? And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Look how easy you can be cut off from society during COVID. Look how easily they cut everybody's communication off. They cut all of our communication off as best in-person communications off like right away. And if YouTube or social media or any of them have a desire to cut you off, they cut you off. You can't talk to anybody. Check that out.
Close to a machine, or you could accidentally have your data all stolen by shaking someone's hand, because a lot of times we protect our cards in, you know, in cases that can't be penetrated. But if it's in your hand, it's really hard to do that.
It's not that simple, to be honest. First of all, you cannot lose money when you are shaking hands with anyone, because the implant is the passive tag and it doesn't have any internal source of energy. And therefore, the only option to get the read of that implant is to put it in the near field of terminal. So therefore, the other implant, which is inside of the other person's hand, is not capable of processing information. You need to have that source of energy, and only terminals that you can see at the moment are capable of providing that energy. So that's one thing. The other thing is that you definitely cannot lose your money because of the fact that you tap in a random place. Why? Because the implant is so small compared to the credit card. Normally, of course, when you tap the credit card, the terminal, it gets the read instantly. With the implant, it's a little bit different because you need to be super precise. And therefore, if someone is touching your hand, finding this perfect sweet spot, because that's how we need to look at it, you would realize at least 10 times that something is going on with your hand. So that's
Wojtek, do you have it in your hand right now?
Yeah, of course. Actually, the x-ray that you saw was from my hand, and that's how
that's
it
you.
Looks. On my hand.
So show me your hand. Is it possible to see it at all? It's just barely standing out, right? Like, it's just, it looks like maybe a little, like a scar?
Yeah, as you can see, I'm popping it a little bit.
Oh man, that's crazy. Did you have a doctor insert it?
Yeah, of course, that's part of the deal, because we are only building the implants. And when it comes to the installations, we want the whole experience to be as safe as possible. And therefore, we built a network of partners all across Europe and the US. So therefore, if you are ordering an implant from our site, it's, of course, shipped to you. But then you need to schedule the appointment with one of the specialists who will just set it up for you.
So do you use it? Like, do you go up to a cashier and say, yeah, I'll just tap my hand. And if that's the case, what's the reaction from the sales clerks?
Yeah, of course. I've been testing it myself since the very beginning. I have been the first person to get it installed. And reactions are pretty wild, to be honest. Sometimes people just don't care about because when they are stuck in the office for like 10 hours, they just do not care. They just care about having the payment to be processed. But sometimes the reactions are just and showing that in most cases, it turns out to be like a positive conversation, because as long as I explain how it works and what's actually inside, they are pretty much optimistic about it. So there is an instant.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's still a lot of regulatory there. I mean, this is a long way before it's mass market appeal, but it is really interesting to see that you're on the leading edge of this and that you're doing it yourself as your lead guinea pig. Wojciech Paproda, thanks so much for being on. I want to stay with you on this story to see how you do with the business. Thank you for watching.
Okay, so there you go, right there. All right, that is number one today that we are going to foreshadows of the mark of the beast. The Bible clearly tells us that these things will happen. I have a question for you. As a Christian, do you see that great comfort comes from knowing that God already warned us of these things happening? Think about this. 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 100 years ago, most people would never have thought much about a mark in your right hand or your forehead. They would have thought it was a tattoo, which tattoos would be a forerunner of it, sure. Tattoos would be a forerunner, right? That would be. You know, these RFID chips going into your implanted into your skin or in your forehead. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about those things. In fact, we'll do a little bit of that right now before we go on to the next one. You know, the King James Bible says, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." You know, the NIV says that it also forced all people. It also. The King James Bible has it right. It says he causeth all, not it forced all people. The New Living Translation says he required everyone. But the word the King James uses is causeth, to cause, to produce, to bring into existence. Like, they cause great joy to all the brethren, to effect by agency, power, or influence. He causeth them by deceiving them. He causeth. Causeth all. By deceit. Same way this is. Watch this. Look. Proverbs 7:21, with her much fair speech, she caused him healed. With the flattering of her lips, forced him. in the Antichrist kingdom, he uses flattery. Remember what the Bible warns us about. Here's his kingdom, Daniel 11:21. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt, shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So let's talk about some foreshadowing people here. Say, for instance, political figures like Donald Trump, who by flatteries convince God's people. By flatteries, just like the Antichrist, by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. See, that's the Antichrist kingdom. That's the way that it works. Revelation 13. He causeth, like she did with her much fair speech. Look, the Antichrist, all this with the mark of the beast. He's going to talk him into it. Society is already doing that. That's what society is doing. Already preparing. Already preparing people for the mark. Because it will be easy. It makes life easier. Convenience will be the reason. Convenience. It's the reason. It's one of the reasons why people will do it. He will cause them. He will flatter them. That's what he will do. This mark is a mock mark. Revelation chapter 7, verse number 3. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. I'm pretty sure I have a broadcast on tattoos. Can't remember, though. Maybe I don't. A long time ago I had one, and I know there's a really good. There's a really good booklet that I have. You know, there's a really good booklet also that I have. I can't find it for some reason. I can't find the broadcast that I did. Sure. Yeah, I don't see it actually. I've got a really good booklet, Padded Saints and Boozing Brothers. Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Evolution of Alcohol and Evangelicals, Boozing Baptist. Yeah. Maybe I titled it different on another one. But anyway, maybe I'll do a broadcast on tattoos sometime. I have a really good booklet that was written on that subject. It's really good, actually. So I have it somewhere. I'll cover it extensively maybe on a broadcast sometime in the future. Might take a couple days, a couple broadcasts. It's pretty long, but it's actually good. So, yeah, I had one years ago that I did with somebody. That one's so I'll do another one sometime. Anyway, okay. Let me get back to what I'm talking about here. Revelation chapter 7, verse number 3, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." See, there's a seal. There's a seal that God puts in the forehead. All right? Satan puts a mark. God puts the seal there. Revelation 9:4. "And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." So God puts a seal, right, on these men. Also, look what else God does with the forehead. Look at this. Verse number 4. We'll read 1 through 4. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead." See, when you have the seal of God, different than the mark that they received. Revelation chapter 16. Verse number 1 and 2. "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. But look at that. It says here that it says of them upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. Revelation 14. Verse number 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. I'm telling you, man, we are heading into some very interesting, interesting times. They are coming like a freight train. These Antichrist times are coming like a freight train. We are seeing it. Look at Revelation 19. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles. See, there it is again. There are so many people out there that literally believe that miracles are only done by God and not by Satan. And I saw the beast and the king, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. He had power to wrought miracles. Listen to all these charismatics talk. They're always talking about miracles. Well, these are the only miracles that the Bible speaks of in the end times. These are the miracles the Bible talks about. Very dangerous. Deceptive. Power like you don't even, can't even fathom outside of God's word. And you see very plainly what men like Greg Locke are up to. You didn't hear that broadcast. Go to Sermon Audio and listen to that. Go listen to that, Greg Locke's Demon Slayer book. That's what I called it. Look, Satan always counterfeits, doesn't he? It's interesting that it talks about the forehead. Christine, how are you? Christine Sita, good to have you on here. Hope you're doing well. Okay. Let's talk about the forehead a little bit. All right? Revelation, you know, all over the Bible, look at Cain. There's a history of this understanding, right? see. I'm going to mail myself. Copy of it. Then I can put it on the big screen. There it goes. Whoosh. Okay, here we go. Oh, oh, there we go. Now yous can see it. Yous people out there. Let's see. Here we go. We'll talk about the forehead a little bit. Then we'll talk about the right hand. The practice common among Oriental nations of coloring the forehead or impressing on it some distinctive mark as a sign of devotion to some deity. Genesis 4. The Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Well, we definitely know it had to be set somewhere where people could see it. Right? How about Ash Wednesday? Roman Catholic churches of the Latin Rite use this service to prepare church members to better appreciate the death and the resurrection of Christ through self-examination, repentance, prayer, fasting, and self-denial. Ashes from the burned palms of the preceding year's Palm Sunday are blessed. With these ashes, the priest marks a cross on the foreheads of worshipers, saying, remember, man, that dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Where do they put it? On the forehead. Where do them Kundalini boys smack you at and the charismatics smack you? Right upside your forehead. Right in the middle of that chakra. No, right in the middle of that third eye, right? Remember T.D. Jakes, his wife, gotta get that baby out! Gotta get that baby out! They gotta palm you right in the forehead. Remember that? Right? What the charismatics do, right? Watch.
Would you come tell what the Lord told you?
Tyler Perry.
God bless you. It's caught me a little off guard, Bishop. Three or four days ago, I called. I was at Manpower. And being blessed. wrote my check out. I said, you know, I didn't have my checkbook when I got to Pastor White's. When I got to a woman that I loosed the night before, and Pastor White said, you know, write a check for $113,000 for those of you who can. Write a check for $113 for Psalms 113. And I wrote a check for $113,000. And I admit, my intention was to just leave the check and bless God. Because, see, I love to give. I've been a giver all my life. And when people have given to you and sown into you and God has touched them and given you favor. Because, see, when you have favor with, come on, somebody. See, they don't understand it where I come from. They don't understand it in Hollywood. But I'm going to tell you something about the blood of Jesus. All of my life, you know, my mother, she didn't have much to give me. She didn't have millions of dollars. She didn't have some legacy, but she had Jesus. And she taught me about that God. So I didn't even know that he was trying to build this youth center. I didn't even know it, but I know how important the youth are. So we were sitting in the service, and I leaned up toward him, and I said, I've just been touched to give $1 million. So as...
And she started dancing. Look at her. She's like, woo!
So when you got up here and you said $1 million, I said, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know I heard your voice. Hey!
Whoa, that's a bad indigestion right there.
I'm going to tell you right now, when you hear the voice of God, you move. Don't worry about what nobody says to you. Don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about your enemy. Don't worry about your hater. He will bless you. He will lift you. He will give. Sometimes you spend too much time worried about your haters. You spend too much time worried about people talking about you. But what you need to understand is that the Bible says in order for you to be blessed, your haters have to be present. How do I know that? The book of Psalms says he prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So in order for me to eat, they have to be present. So God bless you, Bishop. I pray right now that you will continue to do everything you're doing. I pray his anointing will stay upon you. I pray the power of God all over you. I pray his favor. I pray the blood of Jesus will come upon you right there.
Right there. Boom. Marked him. Right in the forehead, right?
Now, keep you in his care. God, I thank you for your blessings.
Come on, somebody give God some praise. He's pushing that baby out. Push that baby out. Come on, he's pushing that baby out. Somebody holler, push. Push. Now come on and praise him.
Man, I'm going to tell you what. If I had to live with that thing and that thing screamed at me like that, I'd be on the road all the time too. I would be out of there. I ain't even kidding you. Oh my goodness.
I can't hear you. Praise him. Praise him. Praise.
Okay. Why? Okay, well. So remember the forehead, right? Kundalini, the charismatics, all of them hit the forehead, right? Nowhere in the scriptures do we see God instructing anyone to do anything like that. You see the Antichrist marks that. We see that David slew the enemy of God. 1 Samuel 17:49. That David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, fell upon his face to the earth. That's a curse. That's a bad thing. They're smacking people on the forehead like it's a good thing. Right? About that. So here's another foreshadowing.
Soon you will be able to pay for groceries at every Whole Foods in the U.S. with just a swipe of your hand. Amazon says that the Pay by Palm technology will be at all of those stores nationwide by the end of the year. Customers just have to hover their hand over the device to pay. This method is already being used at 200 Whole Foods locations across 20 states, and you can also find it in other places, stores like Panera Bread. Hardware editor at TechCrunch, Brian Heater, joins us now. Brian, let's just start off. Tell us how this technology works.
Sure. So in terms of the actual enrollment process, the first time you go to one of these Amazon One locations, you wave your hand over it. That will enroll it you in the program, and then you associate that with a credit card that you have on file. In terms of the actual underlying technology behind it, it's not actually getting a read of the palm itself, which, you know, I think is what most people expect. It's actually taking a look at the vein patterns underneath your hands, which Amazon is effectively saying is a way to do this kind of biometric identification without actually giving any identifying information away.
That's fascinating. I mean, I think anybody who hears this story immediately goes to questions about safety, privacy, the data that's being collected. Amazon has been criticized in the past for some of the data that they collect and their whether they have properly notified consumers about that. What safeguards is Amazon taking?
Sure. Well, the primary one is all of this is going through Amazon's cloud servers. So this is encrypted information. Amazon has generally done a good job of protecting privacy through the cloud itself. You know, I think one of the sort of bigger concerns around this specifically is that unlike the biometric data that you're giving on your phone, for example, that's stored locally on the device itself, but this is going up into the cloud. So like theoretically, somebody could potentially grab that data, but it's intensely difficult.
All right. Very interesting stuff. Brian Heater, thanks.
So he says, oh, it'll be very hard for them to do. Won't be that hard. This guy's going to show you how absolutely.
Hey, Siddiqui with the Anatomy of the Swipe, and I'm here with my buddy Ryan. And what we're going to do is we're actually going to pay with his palm at Whole Foods using Amazon One. Let's go.
All right, Ryan. Are you going to go ahead and set up Amazon One?
Yeah.
So you go ahead and sign up. You're inserting your card. There you go. Terms of use, go ahead and agree.
Agree.
Put in your phone number.
Ooh, yep.
You're signed up. How cool is that?
Cool. Picture of my card.
Wow. All right, cool. Let's go buy something.
All right.
So you're going to pay with your hand?
Pay with my hand. Hold it up here. Scan my right palm. All done.
All done. Where's the receipt? Oh, there we go. Cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Ryan, what did you think of the experience?
pretty seamless, intuitive. I'd say the one point of feedback I have for Whole Foods is put the kiosk somewhere that's not in the checkout line, but all in all, super easy to use. I'd recommend it.
You got the push notification too?
Got the push notification that I'm enrolled and to look out for the Amazon One logo at participating locations.
Nice. So again, guys, if you like nerding out like me and...
Okay, so these guys are telling you, you know, this is the greatest thing ever in the whole world. So the Bible continues to talk about the forehead here. You know, they want to penetrate the forehead, right? They want to use something to do that. The Bible says he makes God's people... Look at what it says here. Behold, I have made thy face stronger, strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their forehead. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. So the Bible speaks of the forehead as something that is to be fortified, right? To be strong against the enemy. Enemies of the Lord. Well, that's what scripture shows us. Well, these people are given into it. These people are, and by the way, it shows you, we're going to talk about the right hand now, but it shows you that this is exactly what they're up to. They're doing it through convenience, flattery, through marketing strategies, through ease of use to get to lead to that mark. Now, I believe that the final mark, whatever it will be, the final mark will be, will link up online into the cloud, right? It will link up into the cloud where Satan says that he set his throne above the clouds, and it will be that beast system. And that beast system is designed, or is being designed, I should say. That's how Satan's is, for Satan to run the world. So we're not there yet. That's why I call them foreshadows, because they're not there yet. But it's leading up to there. And then to see what the King James Bible says about the right hand then. Because the Bible is telling us that there's something about the forehead and the right hand, you know, of a man. There's something about that. And that mark is a literal mark, yes. Purpose that it's in the forehead or the right hand, though. You see what the scriptures say about the right hand. Kind of get an understanding of how this Antichrist kingdom is set. It is a mode of worship to support the Antichrist, to worship the Antichrist over God. That's going to be, you know, that's going to be the direction that that things go, right? But God foretold about all these things. So we start to see things about microchips, and we start to see things about chips in the hand, and, you know, palms and everything else. When we start to see those things, cloud computing, right? The cloud and how all of our data is up in the clouds. Well, Satan's going to need that. Yes, Satan will need that. Why? He's not omniscient like God. He's not omnipresent like God. So that mark is going to connect all people to that cloud in them. It's going to connect them all together. So anybody that's not in that cloud, in that sense, by the mark in their right hand or their forehead, right? Anybody that's not connected that way with that mark, they're going to be out of the loop of things. That's where society is going. That's where it's trending. That's the direction. And God foretold about that in the scriptures. He foretold that was going to happen. I mean, this is what the Bible warned us of. It is warning that that's the direction. I mean, we are getting to a place where they want to do away with money, a cashless society, killing the dollar bill, which they're bankrupting the dollar bill now, and they're bankrupting that currency now so they can develop digital currencies where everything is handled in the cloud. You'll all be connected through the cloud. So, you know, everything will be connected through that cloud. Through a mark in the forehead or in the right hand. All of that's going to be connected. And Satan can't do that any other way. He's not omnipresent. So he has to have that kingdom. He has to have a physical means and a kingdom in order to be able to do that. Because he's not able to do that any other way. Because he's not God. So he has to have a beast system that runs, that connects everyone together. And it'll be easy to detect in that future time who's not connected to that. But by flatteries, that's how he'll get it. He'll get people to do that by he causeth. So the Bible speaks of the right hand. It speaks of that. Exodus 15:6, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Exodus 29:20, then shalt thou kill the ram and take of his blood and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons and upon the thumb of their right hand and upon the great toe of their right foot and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. The scriptures talk about the right hand, right? The importance of it. Job 30:12, upon thy right hand, upon my right hand, rise the youth. They push away my feet and they raise up against me the ways of their destruction. Job 40:14. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. David is saying that his dependence is upon the Lord. His right hand is his right hand of strength. And he's saying, my hand, my right hand, the Lord is at my right hand. He is my strength. I'm not trusting anything else but the Lord. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. At God's right hand, right? That's the main hand, the right hand in that sense. Psalm 18:35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. David says the right hand of God has holded him up through trials, through tribulation. Psalm 109:6, set thou wicked man over him and let Satan stand at his right hand. Not a good thing, right? Let Satan stand at his right hand, denoting his confidence and deception that would come and that he would be leaning on his right hand. That would be his defense, his trust. Psalm 110:1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That's that right hand at the right hand is a place of prominence, place of respect. Psalm 118, 15, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Again, you have the right hand. Psalm 118, verse 16. I think I just did that one, but we'll do it again. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Psalm 121, verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Antichrist kingdom, Satan's kingdom, a master counterfeiter. Again, just like we've seen with T.D. Jakes and Tyler Perry and the charismatic movement and all those other things, what do you find? You find the counterfeit. The most dangerous thing is a counterfeit gospel, a counterfeit Christ, a counterfeit Holy Ghost, a counterfeit movement of God. The most deceptive and the most dangerous of all, counterfeit. Very dangerous. That's what most people are deceived is by a false gospel. They're not as much deceived by atheism as they are a false gospel. Vain religion. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Let no man deceive you with vain words. That's that counterfeit gospel. Psalm 144:11. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speak vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. How about that? You think about that right there. When the Bible speaks of a mark in their right hand or their forehead, the right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That's the mark they're going to have. They're going to be religious people. You better wake up and figure that out. They're going to have a false Christ. They're going to have a false gospel. They're going to have a false religion. They're going to have a false Bible. They're going to have an Antichrist Bible. To deceive. They're not going to be atheists. They're not going to be Buddhists. They're not. No, they're going to come in the name of Christ. And they're going to deceive. Nearly every time I have ever been burned in the ministry, it is false brethren who crept in unawares. And the worst that I've ever had is that very thing that happened. And then those false brethren who crept in, unawares, until the damage is done and they're gone, you don't even realize it. And they look very close to the real thing. Very close. But guess what? Their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That's what it is. And you don't know until it's too late. But that's that Antichrist spirit of deception. Ecclesiastes 10:2. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God upholds with the right hand of his righteousness. He tells us not to fear, but to trust him, because he will uphold us. He will hold his own. He will keep his own. Isaiah 44:9. They that make the graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not nor know that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or molten graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth it with the hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule, and he marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with the compass, and marketh it with the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast, it is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, saith, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire, and the residue thereof he maketh a god. Even his graven image, he falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. If not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals. Thereof I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? See that? Is there not a lie in my right hand? Remember Revelation chapter 13, they're making the image. They worship the image. They have the mark. They have the lie in their right hand. Is there not a lie in my right hand? That's what the Bible says. God says very specifically. Esther, do you believe that's literal? Yeah, I do. And no, I'm not saying that this Amazon thing or this chip is that. No, it's not yet. They're all foreshadows for the mark of the beast. By the way, the ideology is there too. The vaccine ideology, remember that? No, the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. I had some lady quit listening to me. I think I know why she quit. She quit listening to me because I wouldn't say that it wasn't the mark of the beast. So she quit listening to me. She didn't like me because I ain't going to lie. What, do you want me to be a liar? You want me to lie to make it so your idea of things is comfortable to you? I could preach against taking a vaccine and taking against things that are foolish to do, but at the end of the day, it's your choice. It ain't the mark of the beast. Are they precursors to it? Yes. Are they foreshadows of it? Yes. The mentality is they're getting you in a mindset and a mentality to take the mark. That you can't buy, sell, trade, work. Unless you have your mask. Unless you have your mark. Right, that's what it is. We know it's foreshadows of it. We know it is. Plain as day. Right? It's conditioning. Right, that's correct. It's conditioning. And all of those things are the vaccine mentality, the mentality of a 6-foot rule, the mentality of all those other of COVID and the whole ideology around it. All the ideology of COVID around it and COVID-19 and all those other things around it, what were they? Conditioning people. And I didn't believe any of it. They're like, oh, take this vaccine. Oh, do this. Oh, do that. I'm like, nah. Just take it so we can get back to normal. I never stopped being normal in that sense. You just stopped allowing people to do things, and I just continued to live my life, believing that you were all full of beans. I didn't believe it in the first place. I preached online for like 2.5-3 weeks because they had everybody like thinking that we're all going to die. And I'm like, I have no idea. I'll take a look at it and see what's going on. After 3 weeks of that, I said, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Right? I'm like, ah, whatever. God bless you, Brother Ross. I believe most of it is a lot of conditioning. Zechariah 3:1, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Matthew chapter 5:30. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Wow. Let's think about this for a second. Is Jesus warning us that it'd be better for you to cut your right hand off than to get the mark? I think so. He said, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Warning. Well, it wasn't all garbage because my mom sat on a couch and almost died. So it wasn't all garbage. I mean, I watched my mom for 6 weeks not lift her head up off a couch. So there was real sickness there. I mean, it almost killed her. And people got pneumonia, and people were very ill. So, but yeah, I mean, everything else around, but that's how it's, don't you understand? Listen to me. Please listen to me. Don't lose sight of this. That's how the devil is going to work. He's going to, just like every other psyop, right? Every other psyop that we've watched, every other psyop we've watched, what happened? They take something real or an element of reality, and Satan uses it to deceive. That's what you have to watch. Because that's how the deception really works. That's how the Antichrist works. That's how the kingdoms of this world work. Wow. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I think about that warning right there. You think about that. You know, you look at the Sermon on the Mount, and the Jews are at the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus is preaching this. Those end times Jews, they're going to be tempted. They're going to have to turn to Christ. Think about that. Acts 2:34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Acts 3:7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Acts 5:31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts 7:55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Acts 7:56 said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, also maketh intercession for us. Revelation 1:16, and he had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Revelation 1:20, the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are 7.
Way to check out could come in handy. Amazon says by the end of this year, customers at all Whole Foods stores in the U.S. can pay with their palms.
This is my total. This is my palm. This is me scanning it.
The system uses biometric technology. First, users can enroll by inserting a credit card. Then they hover a hand over a special camera, which scans the lines and veins and links the payment to their unique palm print.
You ready?
The next visit to the store, they just scan their hand to pay.
I was really excited because I've been hearing about this for a long time.
Maxine Most tried it at her local Whole Foods. She's one of 3 million who have signed up so far.
It's way easier for me to go to Amazon and just stick my hand over their little reader than it is for me to worry about whether I have my wallet.
Still, those who are.
It's just easier, right? I mean, it's just easier to do that than to stick my hand on the reader or than to have my wallet. So, you know, it's easier that way. Remember, convenience causeth.
Opt-in may be giving up all.
Also, you understand problem, reaction, solution.
All kinds of personal information that could be used for advertising and tracking.
I am sure that Amazon and other organizations are going to scale this technology very quickly if it means that they're able to get more revenues.
Amazon says the system is secure and that it won't share the data. But this tech analyst warns there are always risks.
So from a privacy standpoint, from a security standpoint, from the fact that what happens if this information was to ever get breached and get into the hands of wrong people?
You can go ahead.
Yet paying by palm is going mainstream. Panera Bread and Starbucks are testing out the tech. Some sports stadiums are also on board.
For me, I will never do that because it's your security, right?
Outside of Whole Foods in Toronto, shoppers weighed in.
It's easier. You don't have to fumble for a credit card or anything.
We appreciate technology, of course. Yes, it has made our lives easier. But enough is enough.
No word yet on when this might roll out north of the border. So it could be a while before Canadians can experience it first.
There you go. So, you know, they're waiting with glee to see when it is. Many people are. Some people aren't. Many people are waiting with glee to see when exactly they. Justin Monet, I just watched your last video on YouTube today and I saw links in the description. I finally got Rumble and I saw that you also had a link to Facebook. I didn't know you had a Facebook page. Okay. Right. All right, let me say hi to Justin. Okay, there we go. He's over on the other. He's over on the other one. Okay, there we go. All right, now let me. Okay. The hand most frequently represents the ownership, power, or control that its possessor either an individual or people, exercise. This can be seen in the story of the Exodus from Egypt. God's hand was described as mighty. It overcomes the hand of the Egyptians through miraculous plagues and parting of the Red Sea. These are performed by the hand of Moses and of Aaron, who act as instruments of divine power, taking the staff of God in their hands. As a symbol of divine power and salvation, the hand is remembered at the Passover celebration, in which a staff is to be held in the hand and the event described as a sign on your hand. The hand can represent the whole person, symbolizing the achievement of what is promised with the mouth. 1 Kings 8:15. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it. See, that hand, it represents that, right? When I speak with my mouth and my hand, it means the whole man is involved with it. That's why Jesus said the right hand. It means that they're giving their right hand of fellowship. You know, we talk about that, right? The hand raised position can be used in blessing, right? In making an oath before God. Placing the hand under the patriarch's thigh forms part of the oath that his servant makes, right? Put thy hand under my thigh. The hand of the person seeking atonement for sins is placed on the animal when it is sacrificed. More specifically, the thumb of the right hand receives the sacrificial blood or the oil when the whole person is ritually cleansed. So the Bible talks about that hand, right? Shows us the importance of it. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Hand, right? We see that that's everywhere, right? Numbers 14:30. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. I don't know why I had that verse. Oh, that was an oath, right? Would not listen, right? Let's see. Leviticus 8. And he slew it, and Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot. So the hand, and the hand symbolizes that, right? It's a symbolizing of that power, of that strength, of giving your power and your strength, and it's a sign in your hand, right? How God would use it. So, there you have it. That's the anatomy of the hand, the forehead and the hand, right? And we see these foreshadowings, Antichrist, coming up on the scene, right?
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord,
smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again. In that lovely land of on the restless sea of time, somber skies and howling tempest oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through, for we'll understand it better.
Hey man, that's right. You know, we will understand it better by and by. And this world is not my home. And just remember that whenever you get too comfortable here, that you're not going to be here forever. And one day God's going to remove all of us from this earth. Each and every one of us, we have an appointment with death. There's a point that a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Just remember that we're all going to stand before God, and the books are going to be open. And if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll be cast in the lake of fire for all of eternity. The Bible warns us, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. He has appointed a day in which he will judge this world through righteousness. He's going to judge this world by my gospel, Paul said. He's going to judge every man and every woman and everyone alive, right? God's going to judge them according to the book. And except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. This people that are holding on to this world may be mighty discouraged, or even if as a Christian, you can get yourself down if you look at this and say, man, this is terrible. Look what's coming. Well, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't feel sad about that, right? You should thank God for it. Why? Well, because it's prophecy coming true. Right? It's prophecy coming true. That Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. That in him you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. You could be saved from the wrath to come by repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Bible is very simple with salvation. Repent and believe the gospel. Very simple. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise. So if you ever fear these things and you're lost and you fear these things, you have a great reason to fear. If you're saved, you don't have any reason to fear. The Bible says God gives us his spirit and we are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We have the down payment, the earnest of our inheritance. And we're given that. We're given that down payment, right? We're given the earnest of our inheritance. Even the salvation of our souls. Let's see.
Do not be weary in well-doing, says the Lord, for your labor. I surely will reward. Be steadfast, unmoving, never faint, for God honors the enduring saint. Don't quit, there's a job to be done, don't quit. There's a race to be run, don't quit. There's a crown to be won, don't quit. Weary Christian, don't quit. Elijah moaned as he sat beneath the tree. God, I'm all alone, there's no one left but me. Then God said to him in a still small voice, 7,000 still make me their choice. Don't quit, there's a job to be done, don't quit. There's a race to be run, don't quit. There's a crown to be won, don't quit. Weary Christian, don't quit. Jesus did not quit all throughout his ministry, for he would not stop till he reached Calvary. He endured the cross and became the finisher. So then follow, be a conqueror. Don't quit, there's a job to be done, don't quit. There's a race to be run, don't quit. There's a crown to be won, don't quit. Weary Christian, don't quit. Don't quit, there's a job to be done, don't quit. There's a race to be run, don't quit. There's a crown to be won, don't quit. Weary Christian, don't quit. Don't quit, weary Christian, don't quit.
All right, let's see. We're going to play another one here. Man, I wish I could remember the ones that I was listening to today on my. Oh, I love this song. I like this verse.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry.
Nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story, repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men. Nobody ever has told me.
Children of men, nobody ever has told me before.
ending, we caught the last words of his breath. Just as he entered the valley of death, God sent his son, whosoever.
Peter and all, till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before.
Smiling, he said, as his last sigh he spent. Whispered while low sank the sun in the west.
Lord, I believe, tell it now to the rest. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat over and over.
Amen. That's a good song. Alan Ives, Tell It Again. That's his family singing with him when they were children, young ones. Anyway, all right. God bless you, everyone. I hope you learned something today, and pray for our ministry. No street preaching this weekend, but the following week, and then about 4 weeks after that, we'll be street preaching the entire time. Well, not the entire time, but each weekend. Next week will be the Steele County Fair. The week after that will be the state fair for 3 days that week, and then the state fair for 3 days the next week, busy time. And then the Defeat of Jesse James days after that. Please be in prayer for us about that. If you'd like to give to our ministry, you may do that. Do so through PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Or you can go to our sermon audio page, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and I mean, you can mail something if you'd like to, 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. Or you can use Apple Pay, Venmo. All that stuff's on our YouTube page. You go to the video about Europe, you can see that on there, the little ways that you can give that way. If that's what you'd like to do, if not, pray for us. Pray that the Lord would touch somebody else's heart. Praise the Lord, God provides. Amen. And Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. All right, everybody, God bless you. Take care. And we will definitely see you, Lord willing, Friday, 2 p.m. Central Time.